have your Bibles this morning while you're standing. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Follow along with me. I read several different places in this chapter. Matthew chapter 12. Start reading at verse 22. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 22. Then was brought unto him, that is unto Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Verse 38. All right, just cast the devil out of a man. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Looked like that was a pretty good sign. Just cast the devil out of a man who could not speak, and could not see, and the Lord healed him. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Listen to this. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up into judgment with this generation, the queen of Sheba, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. This is just what he had done, cast out the spirit. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Father, we're thankful for the time we have together in God's house this morning to hear the word of God, to worship the Lord. I pray that you'd help me, that you would give me the anointing that I need. Lord, you would speak to this congregation, meet the needs in this house, and may Jesus be glorified, and may our hearts be drawn to the Son of God. May we receive the help that we need this morning through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in his name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach to you this morning on taking territory from Satan. What you see in this passage of Scripture is a demonstration of the power of the Son of God over the powers of hell. Jesus healed a man that was blind and unable to speak, and his blindness and his inability to speak was due to the fact that he was possessed with the devil. Oftentimes, devil possession in the scriptures was accompanied by physical affliction. Not all physical affliction is because of possession by the devil, but sometimes possession by the devil is manifested by some physical affliction. And this man could not speak, and he could not see. And they brought him unto Jesus, and Jesus healed this man and cast the devil out of this man. Well, this was not the first time Jesus did that. It wasn't the only time Jesus did that. Jesus, many times, had demonstrated his power over the powers of hell. The devils feared him. They recognized the power that Jesus had over them. The Bible tells us in the book of James that the devils believe and they tremble. They were reduced to begging Jesus, "Don't send us into the pit ahead of time." They recognized the authority of Jesus over them. And when Jesus commanded them, they had to obey him. Here was a man that they had control of his life. He was part of their territory. And Jesus drove them off of that territory and released this man from the powers of hell. And when he did so, the other people saw it. And the Pharisees and others said, "This man is casting out devils." They recognized the fact that he cast out devils. They could not deny the fact that Jesus had made this man whole. But they attributed the power that Jesus was manifesting, they attributed that power to the power of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. It was in this context that Jesus spoke in verse 28 and said that he cast out devils by the Spirit of God. This was the power of God's Spirit being manifested. And he said, "The kingdom of God is come unto you." Now there was a warning spoken in this context by Jesus concerning the unclean spirit in verse 43, "Gone out of a man, walking through dry places, seeking rest and finding none." And he says, "I'll return to my house from whence I came out. When he's come, he finds it empty, swept and garnished." He goes and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, enter in and dwells there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And Jesus spoke this warning to that generation. "Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Now what you've got in this the setting of the New Testament is Jesus is the King. And he is establishing his kingdom. And everywhere he goes, he drives Satan out. And light replaces darkness. And the rule of God replaces the rule of Satan. And Jesus is demonstrating his power over the powers of hell. Here is a nation that Satan has made his playhouse. Here's a nation that multitudes of people are possessed by the devil. And then all of a sudden light shines into darkness. And a power greater than the power of hell. And Jesus is driving devils out. And light is breaking into the darkness. And the kingdom of God is replacing the kingdom of Satan. And the march of triumph of the Son of God, the kingdom of God, is being witnessed in the nation of Israel. But Jesus speaks a warning to that nation and lets them know that unless there is some positive response to what he is doing, that Satan comes back to reclaim the territory that he lost. And when he comes back to reclaim the territory that he lost, He brings with him seven spirits more wicked than himself, enters into that territory, reclaims that territory, and the last state is worse than the first. Now that applies to individuals, but it don't just apply to individuals, it applies to families. It don't just apply to families, it applies to nations. And Jesus spoke that to that wicked generation, a generation that had Jesus in view, a generation that saw the coming of the kingdom of God and the power of the kingdom of God being manifested and had turned down and rejected the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I speak this with a burden upon my heart this morning for the United States of America. For it is in this nation that we have seen the mighty workings of God and experienced the blessings of God, I mean abundantly, in this country. We've had the gospel preached. We've seen lives transformed. The miracle-working power of God's been demonstrated. There are families sitting in this place that you are second and third and maybe fourth generation Christians. And you know the stories of how God worked in your families in times past and answered prayer and performed miracles, and the kingdom of God came nigh unto you and was actually manifested in your families and in your homes. Some of the people in this congregation don't know much about that. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still hears and answers prayer. He still performs miracles. And he still comes through in the time of need. And you can experience the power of the kingdom of God in your own life and in your family. It is important that we realize that unless we appreciate what Jesus has done, that Satan will come back to reclaim the territory that he lost. There are disturbing trends in our society. Oh my. I want to ask you this morning, where is the family altars in our generation? And where is that family that can talk of the working of God in that home? That God is answering prayer. That God is moving in that home and in that family. Now then, our altars have been replaced by televisions and movies and videos and computers and the internet and so forth. And people are no longer praying, they're playing. And they're no longer seeking God. They're being entertained non-stop entertainment instead of praying and seeking the face of God. But my brother, listen to me now. When the devil comes back and he finds things swept and clean and garnished, but there's no hindrance to his moving back in and reclaiming the territory that he lost. And instead of just reclaiming it, he clamps down harder than he ever did before and brings seven more spirits more wicked than himself. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Satan comes to reclaim territory. Now what Jesus is speaking about here is this. When Jesus releases a person and releases a family and releases a nation from the powers of hell, that person, that family, that nation is vulnerable unless they submit to the rule of Jesus Christ. If the rule of Jesus Christ is not accepted in that family, in that person, in that nation, then the rule of Satan will come back into that life, that family, and that nation. Because where Jesus does not rule, where there is a vacuum, Satan will come back into that vacuum and assume control of that life, and things will be worse than they ever were in that life, that family, and that nation. Did you ever dream, many of you here this morning, did you ever dream when you were growing up that there would ever be a time in this nation that homosexuals could march in the streets with almost no clothes on and proclaim with pride the kind of life that they are living, and have our politicians promote them and have our government back them. Did you ever dream that could happen? I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and in Romans chapter 1, it indicates that is a sign that God has given up a people. In other words, Satan has come back with vengeance to claim that which he lost. And now then, we are seeing signs that we never dreamed possible in this country. It's not just off somewhere either, brother and sister. And it's not just out in the world. It stops the house of God. I'm telling you, there are sin, gross sins within the house of God that people are willing to overlook and never deal with. And Satan is not just taking control out yonder somewhere. He's taking control in the house of God as well, and clamping down on people that once knew the power of God and once lived under the rule and authority and government of God. This very afternoon, there's going to be a funeral here in Henry County. Three people out of one family. A man shot and killed his wife, his son. He had a son, another son, in school at Radford, called him on the phone, said, "There's a family emergency, come home." The boy came home. He said, "Why don't you go down in the basement?" And when the boy went down in the basement, the father shot him twice. He lived. He got out of the house. He called 911, or had a neighbor too. The father shot and killed himself. Three family members being buried together today in Henry County. What was this due to? I was in the hospital this week. And riding the elevator, and a black man and woman was on the elevator with us, had a newspaper in the hand, and the picture of this family, a member on the paper. I said, "Did you know that family?" And the woman said, "It was his sister." "Your sister?" "Yeah, my sister." I said, "What happened? Why did this happen?" He said, "That's the question everybody's asking. Why did this happen? Why do these things happen in our Henry County? Why do they happen in your community? Why are they happening all across this country?" I'm going to tell you why. Y'all listening to me now? There is a power from hell. There is demonic powers. There is such a thing as devil possession. I'm telling you, these people went to church. These were church people. And you know, you can be in the house of God and not be ruled by God. You can be in the house of God and there be a resistance and a rebelliousness in you against the government of God, and you open your life. There's a vacuum there. And Satan is looking for an entrance into your life. Look at this man, Judas, who at one point Jesus said to him, "Come follow me." And he left all to follow Jesus. But there was at some point in his life, while he's following Jesus, there was a root of covetousness that got a hold of his heart. We studied in Sunday school about the rich man and Lazarus this morning. And Jesus spoke that parable in the context of rebuking the Pharisees for their covetousness. And this man was an example of what Jesus had been rebuking them for, covetousness. This is what got a hold of Judas's heart. He was the treasurer. He was pilfering from the bag. He was a thief. Pilfering from the treasury of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at some point this man decided that he would betray the Son of God. It was under the influence of Satan that he made that decision. There was an opening in his life because he rejected the rule of Jesus in his life. And the opening that Satan found in his life was covetousness. And the Bible tells us that there came a point in his life where it was no longer Satan influencing him, it was Satan possessing him. Satan possessed this man, took control of this man, drove him into the arms of the enemies of Jesus, and he betrayed the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. His name lives in infamy. Nobody names their children by the name of Judas. Who would want a Judas? You understand? Because this name lives on in infamy. The man who betrayed the Son of God under the influence of the powers of hell. So, listen to me, young folks. Hear me now. If you do not live under the government of God, if you refuse the rule of Christ, there's a vacuum in your life. Satan wants to fill that vacuum and take control and rule where Jesus ought to be king in your life. Well, Jesus spoke a warning to this generation, and he said to them, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation." Who are the men of Nineveh? Well, Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. Very cruel people. And God spoke to a prophet by the name of Jonah and said, "I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to that wicked people. And this is the message I want you to tell them. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown." Very negative message. Nothing positive about it. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. The Bible says the king came off his throne, set in sackcloth and ashes, commanded the people to fast. And the people began to fast and beg God for mercy and repent of their sins. And God sent a revival to the city of Nineveh. And that whole city was spared because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And Jonah only had a negative message. And listen, he didn't even want them to be saved. He wanted them to perish. He was disappointed when God spared them. And God said, "The men of Nineveh are going to rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." I mean, this man's got a message from God. He is God's spokesman. God spoke in times past unto the people by the prophets, but now in these last days, He has spoken unto us by His Son, Jesus Christ. A greater than Jonas is here. The Queen of the South, Queen of Sheba, she's going to rise up into judgment with this generation. Condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Solomon was a very wise man, given that wisdom from God. But even though he was a wise man, he was a fallible man. And he sinned and acted contrary to the very principles he knew to be true. And Jesus said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Y'all, I just hold on just a minute. Greater than Jonah. Greater than Solomon. Jesus said, "A greater than Jonah is here. A greater than Solomon is here." For you understand that Jonah could preach God's message, but he had no power over the powers of hell. And Solomon had great wisdom, but he had no power over the powers of hell. Jesus spoke God's message. Jesus had the wisdom of God, but Jesus had the power of God. And he had the power over the powers of hell. Oh, brother and sister, listen to me now. I want you to understand that if hell has had its way in your life and in your family, that day don't have to keep going on in your family. Jesus can release you from the power of hell. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Jesus has power over hell. There's this defeatist doctrine going on in our society, that we are victims of sin and can't help but be victims of sin. But I want to tell you that somebody has broken the power of sin. Somebody has released us from the power of sin. Somebody has released us from the power of Satan. The Bible says that, you can't spoil a strong man's house unless you bind the strong man, and then you can spoil his house. Well, Jesus is the stronger than the strong man. Satan is strong, but Jesus is stronger. And he binds the strong man and spoils his house and brings the prisoners out. You may have been bound by tobacco, but you can be released this morning. Oh, yeah. Brother Tom back there told me he smoked, two or four packs a day. And when God saved him, he released him right then from the power of tobacco when he'd been smoking that much every day. I'm telling you, the power of tobacco cannot hold anything to the power of the blood of Jesus. You may have been hooked on prescription drugs, or you may be trotting down to the corner and buying your drugs, but there's a power greater than the power of drugs. And I'm telling you that Jesus can release you from the power of drugs. You don't have to go to AA or whatever it is. I'm telling you, Jesus has the power to release you. You may be a man or a woman, and you may be hooked on pornography, or you may have problems with homosexuality. And some people accept the fact that I can't do anything about that. But I'm telling you that there's somebody that can do something about that. Oh yeah, there's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus has power over hell. He can break the power of sin. He can release you. It's not a matter of somebody counseling you out of it. It's somebody that can deliver you from it. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody that can deliver you from it by his power. And we don't want to be like the Pharisees. After Jesus had done these mighty works, they said, "Show us a sign." Hey, what more do you want? Jesus had just set a man free from the power of hell, opened his eyes. Now he can talk. Show us a sign. Hey, he's already shown the sign. He has the power to break the power of sin. While Sister Judy comes to the piano this morning, I've been thinking about my dad and mom, been over 2 years, still, I reckon every day, I think about them. And think about how God delivered my dad. My mom was raised in a Christian family. She got saved when she was very young. My dad wasn't raised in a Christian family. And he was a wicked man. And he married a woman. She died in childbirth. It broke him. He was a broken man. He went to the bottle to find help. weeks on end, out of his mind, weeks at a time, drinking, out of his mind, broken, sad, sorrowful. One day he came to Jesus, made his way to an altar, and that one night, Jesus, in a moment of time, took away the sadness and sorrow, filled his heart with joy and gladness, broke the power of alcohol in his life. He went back to the place where he bought his beer. He bought some on credit. He went up to the man. He told him, he said, I've come to pay you what I owe you. He said, the Lord saved me, and I'm going to pay you, and I won't be back. And the man, tears come in his eyes. He stuck his hand out and shook hands with my dad. And he said, Houston, I'm so glad you got saved. And Daddy paid him and never went back. Jesus broke the power of sin. Sin's not a sickness like a cold or a cancer. Sin is a problem of the heart. And Jesus came to fix our hearts. Oh yeah, He can fix your heart this morning and give you life for death, hope for your hopelessness. He has got power over the powers of hell. Hey, listen. God saved my parents. Save me, save my children. If God will be merciful to me, and if Jesus tarries, I trust that for generations to come, every home that springs from this family will be a home of prayer and praise and worship and holiness and righteousness and faithfulness to the Word of God and commitment to the commandments of God. That's what I'm trusting. Because where Jesus rules, this is the kind of life that's lived. And where Jesus don't rule, there's an opening for Satan to take control. I'm concerned about our nation, aren't you? I'm concerned about our families. I'm concerned about individuals that do not see the critical importance of living under the government of God. And I want us to stand this morning and we'll open these altars. If there's anybody here that you need Jesus, you need to be saved, Jesus will meet you at this altar. Just come and kneel at this altar. The Bible says, if whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll sanctify your hearts. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost and give you a power that's greater than the powers of hell. Cleansing in the blood of Jesus. Is there a soul here, this congregation, that the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning? You need help from Jesus. Altars are open. If you'll make your way to these altars, somebody will be around you to pray with you and pray for you and help you. For you this morning. come on in, saints, and let's spend some time in prayer this morning. Perhaps you don't need it yourself, but there's somebody that does. Somebody you know needs the touch of God, the touch of heaven in their hearts. Come on and let's pray. Wonder-working power, precious blood of the Lamb,
and let your power reign. Get it.